Well, welcome back to the show. I am Tamara Cherry, filling in for Evan Bray, as I have been all week. Evan has some much-earned time off this week. And if you were listening to the show earlier in the week, and specifically to the Roundtable of Justice, you might have heard my conversation with two wonderful women speaking about intimate partner violence and how it is dealt with in this country, how it is dealt with or lack thereof in this province, what we need to do, and so many. I mean, an hour, suffice to say, is not enough to unpack this issue, but I think we got through a lot. Today, I want to bring this back into the conversation because there is a bill right now before the before a Senate committee called Bill S-249. It's an intimate partner violent private members bill that is calling for the creation of Canada's first legislated national strategy to prevent intimate partner violence. So first off, I think that we absolutely need to be doing more, but I want to have this conversation because I don't know if this national strategy is the way that we need to go. Let's just start out by throwing out some facts, okay? On average, one woman or girl is killed every other day somewhere in Canada, mostly by men. Every week, one woman is killed by her male partner. Of the 1,223 intimate partner homicide victims between 2009 and 2022, the vast majority were women and girls. Certain groups, such as Indigenous women and racialized women, experience higher rates of intimate partner violence. And so this is, I'm talking about Canada here, but what about Saskatchewan? Well, to just paint a quick picture before we get to our patient guest of the issue in Saskatchewan, I'm actually going to turn the mic over to Saskatoon Judge Justice Richard Danilek, who shared his frustration last year while sentencing a man in the murder of his ex-wife's cousin, who is a woman. And he said in part in his sentencing, "It is 2023. Judges should not have to say that this is unacceptable. Yet I do, all the time. And I have grown weary. Saskatchewan, a province, a place that I love. Saskatchewan is a national leader in the incidence of domestic and intimate partner violence. What an absolute tragedy. How shameful." And one more line here from the judge. "Sentencing judges may take note of local conditions in crafting sentences. Shamefully, I say, in Saskatchewan, the hard, simple fact is that men like to strike women." So this may all lead you to think, you know what? We need our first legislated national strategy to prevent intimate partner violence. Well, I'm now going to turn the mic over to my next guest, Kendra Dixon. She is a professor in the Faculty of Social Work at the University of Manitoba and Resolve Director. Welcome to the show, Kendra.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kendra, in April, you submitted a paper on behalf of the Alliance of Canadian Research Centres on Gender-Based Violence to the Senate Standing Committee that is looking at this bill. And as you noted in your letter, after the Montreal massacre on December 6, 1989, the federal government made a commitment to deal with public policy, education, legislation, and applied research on violence against women and children. 35 years later, how are we doing?
Well, the rates of violence recently tell us that we're not doing a very good job. The last 7 years, we've seen a steady increase in the rates of violence against women, particularly intimate partner violence.
Do we need this legislation, in your view?
Well, I'm not sure if we need this particular legislation. I think we need legislation that gives a message to the public, to multi-sectors, that gender-based violence is not tolerable, and legislation that says we will provide sufficient funding for the frontline workers who work with survivors and families and communities experiencing violence. But I think just having a piece of legislation that doesn't guarantee funding, that doesn't look at all of the sectors of that should be responsible for responding to intimate partner violence, I'm not sure that type of legislation is sufficient.
So I'm if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Kendra Nixon, professor in the Faculty of Social Work at the University of Manitoba. And some people listening to you, Kendra, might think, why would you ever say no to this legislation? But maybe we should move back in time a couple years to 2022, when a national action plan was released on gender-based violence. Tell me a little bit about that action plan and how, if at all, this legislation that is before the Senate committee is different.
Well, and that's one of our concerns. So you talked about the letter that Resolve on, well, and the Alliance sent to the Senate, our written testimony. This was in collaboration with community partners whom we work with across Canada. And although, I mean, we all express, you know, support for legislating a bill that says gender-based violence, violence against women and girls is wrong and we need to do something about it. What is concerning are the lack of the details or the specific focus in this bill. So it is unclear how this bill will tie in or be consistent with the current national action strategy, which involved considerable collaboration with organizations across the country. Will it take resources away from that strategy to implement whatever initiatives come out of this new bill?
Okay, wait. Let's stop there and talk about that for a second, okay? Because I was telling you off air that in my day job, I do a lot of work in the intimate partners violence space. And something I've noticed about a lot of the amazing agencies that are working in this space is that they're fighting over a very small pot of money. Nobody is getting enough funding. And sometimes the people who are getting enough funding aren't doing a really great job. So I want to highlight your concern there, because I think layman listeners out there might think, well, how could it possibly be bad to have more conversations about this? But that's a real concern, right? That if there's this new legislation, well, does that mean that the money that is attached to the action plan that we already have, that might not be flowing so freely? Is that what you're putting a punctuation point on?
Sure. Well, that's definitely a question, right? Also, the focus on this bill is prevention, which is great. We need prevention, right? Mm-hmm. To stop, you know, obviously the immediate harms and then the long-term impacts. But again, if we're taking away resources from the National Action Strategy to implement more prevention, what does that say for services for those survivors who have already experienced violence? And talking about the lack of support we provide organizations. I mean, I'm in Manitoba and I work quite closely with the Manitoba Association of Women's Shelters here, and they have not received an increase in staff funding for several years. Mm. And, you know, and
what's the result of that? Because these are the staff members. These are people who are working, as you mentioned when we were chatting off air, in among the most vulnerable, marginalized people in our society and the most traumatized in our society. So when they are not being taken care of, what does that look for the services that those women are receiving?
Well, if shelters can't find staff, that means you can't serve as many people, right? So in terms of access to shelters. Because of, I mean, the pay gap is a huge piece to this, right? Mm-hmm. I'll speak to the context in Manitoba. I've heard where shelters are losing, in urban areas, are losing staff to the healthcare field because healthcare can provide them with higher salaries. Also heard shelters in rural areas in Manitoba, they are losing staff to McDonald's. McDonald's is paying their staff more than some women's shelters.
And you're not getting the traumatic exposures at McDonald's that you're getting working at a women's shelter.
Well, and so the rate of turnover and burnout among shelter staff is pretty amazing and pretty high. And when you think about training and the lack of efficiency, right? So if you're constantly training new people all the time, that means you can actually put less money into other resources if you're constantly training. And again, you need trained, qualified people because they're the ones providing direct service to, like you said, the most marginalized, the most traumatized populations that have such complex issues, right?
Yeah. And without that training, I mean, they could really cause more harm than good, right? I want to pick it up here after the break, Kendra Nixon, if you can just hold on for a few minutes. I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray on 980 CJME, 650 CKOM. All right, if you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray, and my guest is Kendra Nixon, who is University of Manitoba social work professor. And we're speaking about a bill that is being considered by a Senate committee now called Bill S-249, which is a private member's bill on intimate partner violence. And Kendra, before the break, you were telling me about some of your potential reservations on this bill. One of them being that, well, if this bill, which is calling for Canada's first legislated national strategy to prevent intimate partner violence, if it actually takes money away from other things that are happening as a result of a national action plan that came into effect 2 years ago, then this might not be a great thing. But you also mentioned, we were talking about prevention. This bill puts the aim at prevention. And I think that that is a very important thing. So can you just start out by telling me, Kendra, like, what does prevention look like when it comes to tackling intimate partner violence?
Well, we definitely need prevention. And in fact, it's the preventative efforts that we tend not to be funded, right? It's hard to get dollars for that because it's hard to kind of tie outcomes to kind of prevention. But we know if we have preventive resources in the long term, that will save lots of money in terms of just social services, healthcare, the correctional system, the justice system. So when we're responding to intimate partner violence, we need the full spectrum of intervention. So from the primary prevention, right? So preventing people from even being at risk of being in violent situations.
How do we do that?
Well, and that might involve programs for children, right?
Mm-hmm.
For exposure. The research is mixed in terms of, you know, if kids are exposed to violence in the home, are they going to become future victims or are they going to become future perpetrators? And the evidence of that is mixed. We also want to prevent violence in dating relationships. So there might be programs in high schools or in youth-centered programs.
Yeah, what do healthy relationships look like? What does consent look like? If only our government in Saskatchewan allowed experts in this area to come into schools and talk about that stuff. But that's another conversation. Continue, Kendra.
Yeah. And we also want to prevent people from having to remain in relationships. Many survivors remain in relationships because they have no place to go. There's lack of housing. Poverty is an issue. They're financially dependent on their partner, right? Mm. So, you know, preventative efforts should involve that, right? An increase in social supports for survivors. But again, we need prevention. We need treatment for those who are already impacted, counseling. We need healthcare services. We need places for people to go for aftercare. So when they make the decision to leave their partner, do they have long-term sustainable housing for them and their children? Mm. Often survivors have to remain with their partners because they have no place to go.
So it's interesting to hear you list all these things, Kendra, because we're talking in the segment about a bill that's proposing Canada's first legislated national strategy to prevent intimate partner violence. And of course, so much of what you're talking about falls at the feet of the provinces. So let's say we don't get this national strategy. We already have this national action plan in place. Can we talk for a minute about Saskatchewan? Because the situation in Saskatchewan is deplorable when it comes to intimate partner violence. I quoted that Saskatoon judge before the break who said that, shamefully, I say in Saskatchewan, the hard, simple fact is that men like to strike women. So just stepping away from the national conversation for a minute, what would you like to see in Saskatchewan to change that? I don't like that fact about Saskatchewan, and I think it's shameful. So how do we change that?
Well, again, I think putting supports in place, you know, speaking with women's advocates and women's shelters, do they have adequate supports to do the work that they need to do? What is our legal system like? Speaking with a number of survivors across the prairies, I could tell you the access to legal services, the access to justice is incredibly weak, right?
Yes.
Healthcare, right? Close to 80% of all survivors of intimate partner violence sustain some type of brain trauma. Our healthcare system, are the healthcare workers, are they properly screening and assessing for this, right?
Right.
Are there places for women to go? What is the rate of poverty in Saskatchewan? What is the lack of public housing? And then we also have to look at more Indigenous-led programs. Mm-hmm. We know, and I think you said at the beginning, Indigenous women are disproportionately higher in rates of violence against women, intimate partner violence. And a lot of that is because the programs out there are not created or designed or deliver Indigenous-led programs. So mm-hmm. many Indigenous women may not feel safe or comfortable going to police, going to shelters.
That trauma-informed and culturally informed approach is so important, isn't it? And I want to give a shout-out because you're talking about the justice system to PATHS in Saskatchewan, the Provincial Association of Transition Houses and Services of Saskatchewan, because they do have, they've gotten funding recently for a survey where they are collecting the voices and experiences of survivors when it comes to the justice system, and they want to hear from you. If you have been through, if you, this new research project is documenting the experiences of survivors in the justice system, so you can head to PATHSSK.org, PATHSSK.org, if you want to take part in that. But we just have a couple of minutes left here with University of Manitoba social work professor Kendra Nixon. Kendra, I wonder, you know, if you had a bucket list, three things you just listed a whole bunch of things, but how do we find a starting point? Do we need our own provincial action plan here in Saskatchewan? Do we need more pressure from the feds? What's one or two actionable places that we can start now?
Well, we've had lots of action plans in the past. We've had lots of strategies, right? It's having the dollars to properly implement those strategies. And, you know, I probably sound like a broken record, but, you know.
Show me the money. Show Kendra the money.
Exactly. There need to be adequate resources and sustainable and long-term guaranteed funding for these organizations to do the work that they do. And I think, you know, we've also been asking for these provinces and the federal government to declare intimate partner violence an epidemic.
Yeah.
When you do that, that means it's a public health crisis, similar to the COVID-19 pandemic, where it's a whole of society approach, right? So
yes.
It's not just the healthcare sector, but it's education, it's justice, it's community organizations, it's business.
Mm-hmm. It's identifying those root causes and those solutions and, educating the masses about it. That's how we get there. I think Ontario did that, didn't they? Did they? Yes. Okay, we have to end it there,
sorry.
Kendra. Can we continue this conversation another time? I'd love to have you back on when I'm filling in for Evan again. Kendra Nixon, professor in the Faculty of Social Work at the University of Manitoba and the director of Resolve. Thank you for your time. I am Tamara Cherry filling in for Evan Bray all week. Coming up after the break, we're heading back to the courts to some people who sit in the courts on a daily basis. You might not think that much about jurors. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.